Music Radio Free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing?
Welcome, everyone, to our program. This is Rick Adams with you today on this Saturday, the 3rd of September, 2016. And again, we successfully completed another week, and so we are back today. And, you know, this weekend, of course, is a long weekend, I think, for most of us. And it's called Labor Day. And I'll get into that in a little bit, in a few minutes. And not so much the Labor Day, but I might want to just give you a little clip of one of my friends on YouTube who has done a little thing on Rockefeller and Big Oil. And, of course, that ties right into labor then and now. You know, 70 years ago, it was one thing. Today, it's just a small, if you will, splinter of what it once was on purpose. That's the organized labor movement. But first, I'd like to just mention, you know, studying the scripture again, I come back to these two little kids in the womb. You know, one was Esau, whom God said he hated, and the other one was Jacob, whom he said he loved. And as we know, Esau has his children on the earth today through Cain. And Jacob has his children, although I would say most of you out there and most of them in the world today, particularly in Europe and affiliated countries in America, North America, Canada, and so forth, don't even know who they are, but they are his children nonetheless. And that in the book of Obadiah, again, servant to God, you know, it's very interesting to see how this whole thing will unfold. And alas, he says, for the day is great so that none is like it. It is the time of Jacob's trouble, the time that will soon be upon Jacob's seed. But he shall be saved, that is, Jacob shall be saved out of the time, out of that hell, for it shall come to pass that in that day of Jacob's trouble, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break this yoke from off their neck, and I will tear off their bonds, and strangers shall no longer make them their slaves. You see, we're seeing that yoke of bondage that Esau has over Jacob and the Caucasian Israelite, Jacobite people today, and that is taking place in Europe, the United States, and it takes many forms, two world wars, disasters for the world, but successful for them, NATO, the whole new alliance, the new boogeyman, and now today we see the stage set for this third conflict that was sketched out a long time ago. So in the end, however, in the end, after all is said and done, and after they've had their field day, and after they think they have created the very right conditions of the new world order to impose their will on the entire world, as it says in Matthew 24 and 5, and all of these things shall come to pass, but they shall not come to pass outside of this final generation. This final generation, the bad fig tree generation, will take place when all of these seven major things take place. And so they are taking place today. Earthquakes reported, you know, in Kentucky and here in the United States, and we've seen them all over the world. Famine for the word of God, and of course we're seeing the disease of the spirit as well, the suffering and many other things that are taking place. Obama, once again, reaching an accord on this whole business of environmentalism and saving the earth, with the Pope being first among them to throw his gauntlet in. And we see all of these lies coming to a consummate end. They will end with Satan himself, the chief lie of liars, and he will be there to impose, so he thinks, his rule on the entire world, because it does say that the whole world shall marvel after him, marvel after this man who will be calling himself Jesus the Christ. And so, hey, it's all coming to pass. It's all taking place exactly as he says. And all I can say is amen and amen. You know, God and his people, whoever's with him, will be the victors, and the enemy will be, well, they will be vanquished and eventually just totally destroyed. So anyway, I did want to mention that. Also, we'll talk a little bit in this hour with Art about Labor Day and other issues, and how the Cosa Nostra ties right in to all of this today. Again, I want to remind you, we do have some postings up on YouTube, my channel, that go back a little bit, one on gun control, which in the program does encapsulate Dr. William Pierce on his own interview program about guns and gun control and what's behind it. And then my intro and summation. Also, some of the other programs that are going up, and eventually, within a short time, I'm going to have some of the old programs with Scott Smith as well, and then new programs that we have planned to produce. We've been taking a little bit of a low profile in August for doing new television shows locally, so that's why we haven't done much there. But if you check out our YouTube channel, we've got up the Thomas K. Kimmel interview, 2-hour program on making the world safe for communism. He is a Pearl Harbor historian. And, you know, he's not one of these Tom Brokaw type of guys. He knows whereof he speaks, and he speaks it because he's honest. And then we have the most recent ones on gun control, and the upcoming will be the CFR and the invisible government, and the 14th Amendment was never legally ratified. So here we are. Just a word to that. Also, listen in to our friend Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's program on his site at www.andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. This week, you will have new guests, new programs. All right. Now, I've said all that. Let me bring up Art in Philly. Hello, Art. Welcome.
Hello, Rick. Thank you for taking my call. How's everything going for everyone today?
Oh, I don't know about everyone, but so far, so good. You know, the Lord has blessed, and I know in my case that, you know, we have had these blessings, and the more I pay attention to him, the better it gets, you know. And when I drift away, if I do, then it gets treacherous out there, because, you know, in this day and age, you know, and I know, Art, that you can't trust anything or anyone, ultimately, not with your soul, because everybody, you know, is human. Everybody makes mistakes. They may have the best of intentions, but they fall. And I do, you do, we all do. So that's why it's important to know truth, and to know that we've been lied to all these years in our lifetime. You know what the guy said about books, you know, in high school and elementary school? Lies they taught me in school? Well, you know, today we'll explore some of those lies and how they came to be lies, who owns the publishing houses, you know, who owns the media, and so forth. So it's been a, you know, as I said, it's been a blessed week. And how are you doing with your job, by the way, your new job?
It's getting the bills paid. You know, all we can say is a job. It pays the bills. It's nothing fantastic. It just, you know, helps me catch up on some of the bills I fell behind, because back in the 2008-2012 mm-hmm. downturn, being in IT and importing everybody from the third world, they basically put a lot of Americans out of work, including myself, which hurt my business big time. So now I'm, you know, finally getting some new opportunities, but it's been very frustrating.
Well, I know it's catch-up time, too, right? It's difficult, yeah. But here you are. At least you, you've advanced to this point, and that's good news. And so now, you know, this Labor Day weekend we have here is something that I didn't spend a lot of time on, and I won't spend a lot of time on the whole program on today. In the second hour, we have Merlin Miller coming up, the Eagles, and he'll be giving us his latest views on what's happening. But I was thinking about the whole business of organized labor, not just labor, because labor is one thing, but organized labor is something else, you know. And I don't know about you, but just from a general point of view, I mean, I never knew really that much about organized labor. I mean, I did have to join a union in order to have a radio job a number of years ago, Electrical Workers Union, and I wasn't too fond of paying dues because basically they did nothing. You know, basically they did almost nothing for you when you had a problem. But it was like a collection agency in order to get a job. And that was true, I think, of unions over the past 50, 75 years or so. But if you go back and I don't know if you've done the research or not, but I've given it a little thumbnail sketch. It really goes back to the 1880s and the end of 1879, and when it really started to get started, you know, the Gilded Age and post-industrial revolution and some of the characters that were involved. One of the groups was, have you heard of the Knights of Labor?
I've heard of them. That goes back in time.
There you go.
Now, from my viewpoint, you know, just look at Jimmy Hoffa and his power brokers.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, the Cosa Nostra, you know, Max Fischer and Mo Dalitz. But what they're doing recently is they migrated away from that, and now they basically own the companies, and they own the temporary services, Manpower, Volt, Accenture, TAD Technical Services. They're all basically fronts for the syndicate, okay? And I found that out from in the 1986 Tax Reform Act, because these guys were all the sponsors of it. And I talked to Congressman Dick Schultz out of Pennsylvania and told him what I knew about it. And he says, thank you. We knew the Mafia sponsored the Section 1706 part of the 1986 Tax Reform Act under Reagan. And what it did is basically forced anyone who was doing any work with the government, small business, to destroy their rights as a business, to work with the federal government, forced to work with the big boys under blanket purchase order agreements. And what happened is, for instance, at Goddard, they destroyed about, I guess, you know, almost 700 different jobs in the guys that were looking at first space shuttle Columbia that blew up. So about 2 months before that shuttle blew up, they all walked off the job because they destroyed their careers, their businesses. But you never heard that anyplace in the news. And this whole outsourcing, you know, replacing U.S. labor with Indian labor, that's all part of the syndicate. Mm-hmm. One of their biggest sponsors is running for president now, Hillary Clinton. She's over there on junkets with the convicted felon Rajiv Gupta, over there getting paid off to basically destroy American jobs. So I've seen it. So it's ridiculous. I mean, if they want to stop the problem, it's so simple, two simple steps. Any immigration
well,
coming
right.
in.
Excuse me?
$100,000 per person. Use all your
wow.
money.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. Any basically imports you want in Khmer, 50% tariff. Bring in all you want. And that would change the business model overnight. Those two simple steps, and you could change this problem literally overnight by changing the cost of doing business to them.
Right, right. Now, stepping back a little bit into the 20th century, the 1900s, there was, as you know, many of the names that came up, the Samuel Gompers, and some were out-and-out socialists. Others were actually Catholic organizers of organized labor, as you probably know. But many of the Catholics did not go along with the communist ideology that was being promoted in union circles, you see. So there was a dichotomy there. There was a split there. And yet, as it grew, the labor movement grew. Of course, these powerful people like the Rockefellers and others, while they were fighting unionization, were also finding a way ultimately to encourage the unionization to basically, you know, to serve their ultimate purposes of monopolization of labor. And what happened by the time Roosevelt became installed in the White House in 1933, you saw the beginning of this whole new philosophy in legislation at the federal level, the National Labor Relations Act, and a host of others that came into being. And the court originally was striking them down because you have no authority to do that, they said. Nowhere in the Constitution does it give the federal government the right to deal with labor issues that are state and local issues. But they finally packed the court, and they finally changed the whole makeup of the court, you know, or enough of it, like the Frankfurters and so forth, to recognize this whole business of union control and union domination. Now, why was that? Well, in that time, of course, the unions were being encouraged in America and organized because it was serving the purposes of the elite. But as you point out, now, in the last 25 years or so, basically, it's the other way around. Oh, no, we got to break the unions because we need to be efficient. We need to save people money. And what are they doing? Fleecing the American taxpayers, fleecing the American consumer, and going abroad. And that's where the Chinese communists came in, and India and so forth. So you see how they adapt to their own modality and their own ultimate purposes of creating this one world system where America goes down and the third world comes up. You say you can have convergence. You see that?
Yes, I definitely see that. And I sent you some information on a guy I didn't know about, maybe you did, Myron Fagan, who basically wrote articles about all this in 1967 and said he was actually at the Yalta Conference with Roosevelt and Stalin when they talked about all these issues of the New World. So it's interesting to hear this guy who passed away in 72, that we're talking like 67, what is that, 40 years ago? Almost 50 years ago.
Yes.
That the same issues he brought up then about the Illuminati are exactly the same issues we're seeing right now, you know, 50 years later. No difference. And one thing I saw and read in his articles, he mentioned about former congressman, Senator Richard Schweiker of Pennsylvania, that he was one of the guys back then that basically tried to get the U.S. defense industry owned by the United Nations, which is nothing but a front for this Council for Foreign Relations owned by the Rockefeller and the Illuminati interests. So I'm seeing it right here, and Schweiker was the key person in setting up the Warren Commission, single bullet theory, putting Specter and Richard Sprague on there to basically cover up the murder of JFK. So it's very interesting to read what he did, knowing more information at this point in time, that you can see the connections there. And he also mentioned about Sam Newhouse, which you talked about, consolidation of the media.
Yeah.
And he mentioned Baruch Barak, I believe it was. And there was also a colonel back there going way back into the Wilson administration, how they were involved with getting us into the situation here.
You mean Edward Mandel House? Is that the
one? That's who it was, yes. Colonel Mandel House, yeah.
Right. And he was his top confidant. And also, you mentioned the Newhouse, which I've mentioned, the Newhouse media empire. That, too, is strictly one of their empires. And that was primarily in the newsprint, though, I believe, as well as extended into electronic media. Now, you know, it's funny because now we have like Gatehouse Media, which controls the Providence Journal, and other empires that are controlling electronic media. And never before have we seen this change take place in the FCC rules and regulations so that they can own a number of stations in the same market. I mean TV stations, not just radio, and be able to monopolize a whole area in terms of advertising. And, you know, that pushes the smaller people out, the smaller independents. That's the whole goal.
Yes, I know, from being a small guy. And that started actually becoming a major issue in our situation here in the U.S. in the 1982 Tax Reform Act with under Reagan, where he allowed mergers and acquisitions to occur using people's pension funds, allowing junk bond financiers like Michael Milliken, who worked for Drexel, Laverne, Lambert, directly owned by the Rothschild banking interests, to destroy American industry, consolidate it. And what did he do with the money he made? He gave it all to Steve Wynn there to basically invest in casinos, a major player in the Likud.
You're absolutely right. And the Sheldon Adelsons, also their competitors and sometimes they're collusionists.
Right.
It's amazing, isn't it? Huh? All right, we'll be back. I want to play a clip when we come back, Art, of about Rockefeller, and then we'll open up the next half hour to call.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit MyDryHome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Listen to the same clip. Might get some good education out of this one on Rockefeller, the old man John D. And let's get it right now. Let's get it up.
John D. Rockefeller was the wealthiest and most powerful man in America. He was also the most hated. He built an oil empire that spanned the globe. Let's take a look at the very powerful John D. Rockefeller. He was born on July 8, 1839, in Richford, New York. His father was known as Devil Bill, a traveling con artist who sold fake medicine for a living. The family moved to the Cleveland, Ohio area when John was a teen. He had big ambitions and dreamed of being the richest man in the world. At 18 years old, John took a $1,000 loan from his father and started a produce business. The Civil War began in 1861, and John began selling produce to Union troops. By the war's end, he made a small fortune off the business. But his life changed forever when the oil boom began in western Pennsylvania. Rockefeller heard about the riches that were being made overnight, and he knew his future lay in oil. However, Rockefeller was also smart and realized that drilling for oil was a risky business. Many businessmen lost money. He decided to focus on oil refining, which was a sure way to profit. refining oil produced kerosene, which at the time was used to light lamps. John and a partner formed Rockefeller and Andrews Company, and they built their first refinery beside the Cleveland Railroad. As the boss, John was a perfectionist, making sure not one drop of oil was wasted. By age 25, Rockefeller's refining business was one of the largest in the world. In 1870, Rockefeller formed Standard Oil of Ohio after buying up numerous refineries. The company was worth $1 million at its founding. Rockefeller then formed a secret alliance with the railroads called the South Improvement Company. This deal gave Standard Oil large discounts on shipping through rebates from the railroads. In return, Rockefeller gave the trains constant business. The key to this deal, however, was the railroads raising prices for all the other refineries in the area. This absolutely devastated Rockefeller's competitors. They had no idea why their shipping rates had been raised so much. With competition unable to compete, Rockefeller continued buying up rival refiners. When some refused to be bought out, Rockefeller turned to more ruthless tactics. He would buy up hundreds of oil tank cars, which the refiners needed in order to conduct their business. This would cause tank car shortages, and rivals had no choice but to sell out to Standard Oil. By 1872, Rockefeller bought out 22 of 26 local refineries. This became known as the Cleveland Massacre. The public eventually became aware of Rockefeller's schemes, and his reputation went south. He was called a monster, and Standard Oil was seen as an anaconda which gobbled up the little guys. Mobs would form and protest against Standard Oil in many oil towns. Yet none of this slowed down Rockefeller's business. By age 38, he controlled 90% of oil refined in America. He also controlled most of the oil marketing companies in the nation. In 1882, Rockefeller turned Standard Oil into a trust, which was similar to an early corporation. Shares were sold to the public, and Rockefeller obviously owned most of the shares. 10 years later, the U.S. government attempted to weaken Standard Oil because the company wielded way too much power. They passed the Sherman Antitrust Act, but this legislation was not effective. There were way too many loopholes, and the Standard Oil Trust kept right on going. Standard Oil was rapidly expanding overseas and becoming a global monopoly. There were a few international companies that competed with Standard Oil at the time. The Rothschilds family of Europe, the powerful and wealthy banking family, also became involved with the oil industry. Nonetheless, no international company posed a threat to Rockefeller's empire. He soon moved Standard Oil's headquarters to New York City, the financial capital of America. He then clashed with another powerful industrialist named J.P. Morgan. Morgan was financing Thomas Edison's electric company, which posed a threat to Standard Oil's kerosene. Rockefeller quickly invested in natural gas to maintain control over the lamplighting business. His companies often bribed politicians to light their cities using natural gas and not electricity. Rockefeller also competed with Morgan in banking. Morgan was the head of the Wall Street giant J.P. Morgan & Company. Rockefeller, along with other bankers, formed the Equitable Trust Company, which later became Chase Bank.
And we will be right back in just about 3 minutes and finish that clip for you. And then get your reaction, Mark, and some of our listeners are welcome to call in at our number 6. All right, stay tuned. Rick Adams, Uncensored.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm Finca Baiano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
All right, that's me, and let's get back to the last minute or so of the clip here.
Iron ore, which brought him head-to-head with another industrialist, Andrew Carnegie. But in 1901, J.P. Morgan bought out Carnegie's steel business and formed U.S. Steel. This new trust was worth $1 billion and was the largest company in the world. Rockefeller decided to invest in U.S. Steel and became a major shareholder. His net worth after these many investments was around $200 million. Then in 1911, the Supreme Court finally broke up Standard Oil. They split Standard into 34 separate companies which were out of Rockefeller's control. However, Rockefeller received stock shares in each of these new oil firms. As the companies grew, so did Rockefeller's fortune. His net worth eventually neared $1 billion, making him the richest man in the world. And those separate oil companies that spawned from Standard Oil, they later became giants such as ExxonMobil, Chevron, ConocoPhillips, and more. Later in life, Rockefeller turned to philanthropy and gave away hundreds of millions of dollars to charitable causes. He helped found the University of Chicago, as well as the Rockefeller Foundation. He died at age 97, and his son John Jr. carried on the family business ventures. his grandson, David Rockefeller, would become the most powerful banker in America as the CEO of Chase Manhattan Bank.
Well, that's about it. That's just about where it ends. And Art, you've heard quite a little history there, which I'm sure you're not unfamiliar with. Any thoughts?
Well, yes. Basically, U.S. Steel is owned by the Rothschilds.
Mm-hmm.
What happened also when they had the takeover of U.S. Steel, you also realized J.P. Morgan was in there and bought them out. So there's a co-ownership between J.P. Morgan, which is the owners of the Federal Reserve Bank, and the Rockefellers, the direct connection there. Also, when General Electric tried to win the contracts for Niagara Falls to build the power generation,
yeah.
They lost, and that bankrupted General Electric, and it was taken over directly by J.P. Morgan,
yes.
As directed by the Rothschilds.
Mm-hmm.
So we see it today. I actually worked for a company that was split off to manage the mortgage trading systems from Chemical Bank back in '88. And all the guys I worked with from Chemical Bank went to jail for fraud. And what was that trading system? The mortgage-backed securities trading system. We saw mm-hmm. that resulted in the crashes in 2008.
Yeah. MBS, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Depository Trust Clearing Corporation. That's what it is now. Used to be mortgage-backed clearing corporation at that point.
And, you know, the fact all of this leads up to is today's economy is so bad now, as I'm seeing just in retail and in the whole housing market, to mention the derivatives and so forth, that now we're looking at the latest statistics about just the public debt is $20 trillion. Now, debt is what these sons of the devil live off of, is to have you be a debt slave. Governments, corporations, individuals, everyone who is in debt to them is a slave. It's that simple, and that's exactly what they specialize in, is slavery. So, you know, David Rockefeller, I don't know, they say he's still alive, hasn't been seen in public, to the best of my knowledge, for a while, but he's got to be like 107. You know, the guy's been around, the Trilateral Commission, initiation, he and Zbigniew Brzezinski. All of these guys, you know, have had all of this wealth. They've done all of this damage to our economies, to our individual liberties. And in the end, where does it get them? In a hole in the ground, you know. But their progeny, you know, live on. They just continue to do the same, like old man Rothschild centuries ago.
Right. Now, one thing just to mention, that there is a direct connection between the Annenberg families and the Rockefellers, as first of all, Myron Fragan brought it out when he mentioned Schweiker in there and the Council of Foreign Relations, and how Schweiker was trying to basically convert the U.S. Military into a asset of the U.N. We have back here, I wanted to bring up two points just so you could see it, two recent issues that came out this week. One, as you may have heard from Providence, that the one of the monsters, DeLuca, was arrested for a murder that happened back in the early 90s.
Yes.
Well, I also sent some information to Harvey Barnes, a big home builder back here, who ran the Bucks County Republican Party and was the power broker for Arlen Specter, and also worked very closely with Walter Annenberg to set up the JFK assassination, working also very closely with Senator Richard Schweiker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he owned a home building business called Barnes, and he passed away in 2000. And his daughter then sold off the home building business. Who did he sell it off to? DeLuca, the same family that you're talking about. That was, I'm not sure it's the same guy, but it's the same home building business that DeLuca have.
Right, out of the Boston area. The subsidiaries
right.
out of Boston, right.
Right, so Barnes came from Connecticut back about, I guess, back in the 60s, not a little earlier than that, to this area. And he also was working very closely with Toll Brothers. And he taught Arlen Specter's family, the home building business. They own NPR, Ryan Home, National mm-hmm. Home Builder. I'm sure you got to see them someplace around you. They're all over the country at this point. And you can see that connection there.
Well, it's interesting to note, like in the Providence case where the guy was buried in not too far from where I live, he was killed and then buried there. And he was one of the the owners of the nightclub industry, which, you know, he also turned evidence and was going to be and was a key witness. He winds up dead. Salemi, the guy whose name surfaces as the mobster, is the one from Boston, but it goes up the ladder and up the chain of command. And so, you know, where it ends, of course, is anybody's guess. But these are the mobsters that do sometimes, as you point out, do connect to the big mob, the Cosa Nostra, directly or indirectly. And your area of Philadelphia, of course, is a very interesting hotbed of it, too. The Pennsylvania area, the Rockefellers and the Shanksville mines they've owned, all of this ties even into 9/11. You know, we're going to be talking about that again next week, too, on the anniversary.
Now, yep. The other point that was advertised this week was about the Hershey Fund. Hershey's basically in looking around for a buyout. And who's trying to buy him out? None other than Sam Zell, okay? You know, that Duke pointed out as having his ties into organized crime. Sam Zell owns a real estate equity firm, made his fortune in apartment leasing. And then he was bought out by the Blackstone Group, owned by Steven Schwarzman, who is one of the major sponsors of the Secretary of Defense, Ashton Carter, as is the Council on Foreign Relationships, and also the Annenberg Foundation, when he was the title of the Department of State. And his claim to fame is award as a procurement director for DOD, is award Israel a couple squadrons of F-35 fighters. So, and also the other thing is the top guy of the chairman of the boards of the Hershey Foundation is Jim Nevels. Jim Nevels is one of the guys back here, part of the Bucks County Republican Party, tied right into setting up the charter schools owned by the mob back here. And now he's the chairman of the Philadelphia chapter of the Federal Reserve Bank. Go figure. All coincidence, right?
Yeah. Just happenstance, huh?
Right.
Amazing. All right, folks, if you want to join in the time we have in this hour with Art and Philly, you can dial us in one of these numbers. And Art, you're getting a lot of static on your end, so you might want to check that out on your phone, okay? The number is 512 area code 716-1603. That's 512-716-1603. Or area code 512, again, 716-1683. And you should be able to get through to either number, and do it now if you'd like to join in. Rick Adams with Art from Philly, and all of this is really overshadowing the whole Labor Day weekend. I think the point that we tried to make, I've made repeatedly, and others have made, is that as far as these big multinational corporate entities that were set up are concerned, what's happening is they now have reached the point where the unions they nurtured and helped to subsidize and control now are no longer needed, and they are decertifying them, and they are beginning to eliminate almost all of the major private sector unions, as it does not permit them to accomplish their goal with them. You say it's just whatever is convenient at the time we do. And what we no longer need, we delete, we get rid of. So that's the formula, Art. And the formula now is slave labor. Slave labor.
Yeah. If you like, I can call back in.
Yeah, why don't you just try calling us back quickly, all right? Okay, folks, and sorry you have to dial a toll number, but right now that's the way it is. Please continue to support RBN, by the way, and support it if you can in any way that you can. And we appreciate it here at republicbroadcasting.org. 512-716-1603. And also 512-716-1883 as well. Also 512-716-1897. And you can hit S on the dial, okay? Well, anyway, so Art will be back in a moment. We have Merlin Miller also coming up in the second hour today and see what the Eagles have to say as well. Next week, as I've hinted, you know, we're on the 15th anniversary of 9/11, and we're going to be having a segment probably recorded with Jim Fetzer I think Jim Fetzer, of all the people I've interviewed and had on, has the most logical, scientific, and reasonable survey and program of understanding just who perpetrated 9/11 and what the get-go was, how it was totally an inside job, outside inside, that is. So, you know, I mean, the synagogue of Satan is the key. And again, as I said in opening, you know, we know this war is a religious war. It's Esau against Jacob, and it will end. Right now, it's coming to a head. That's the whole point. So, all right, when Art is back up, we'll bring him back up, and you can die now.
Okay.
All right, are we ready?
This is Art.
Okay, Art, come on up.
Okay. All right, so back up again. Do you want to proceed with phone calls from this point? Or
yeah, we're welcoming them now, and as they come in, we'll bring them right up. Okay, go ahead. Now, your comments, I don't know if you heard what I just said, but essentially we're just summarizing the reality of where we are now in terms of this economic warfare against America, Jacob Israel.
Right, right. So what you were saying about labor is they use labor in the unions to basically blackmail the corporations. And once they succeeded in blackmailing the corporations, they took them over. And once they took them over, they didn't need labor anymore. They needed cheap labor, and that's where they basically flooded the country with cheap immigration labor and outsourced the industry out of the country. So they were just a tool to enable them to take over American industry and displace it with their control. And that's a major reason today why they need all this immigration labor here. The major tool for having immigration labor here is it allows them to take the industry out of the country. Because now they have a trained foreign workforce, they can basically do it. And it's interesting that Congress and doesn't seem to hear the American people when there's 90 million people underemployed right now, as I see it. Any comments?
Right, right. Exactly. Also, didn't you say something about the state of California now is opening the door to public employee pension confiscation?
Yes, right. State of California has a pension management system called CalPERS, which is a state-run pension system. And based on a ruling they had recently, they were saying that now they can basically give people who have a state pension a haircut under the conditions of filing bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's interesting is, at the same time, who's managing the pensions, doing all the IT services for the state of California? None other than Accenture, the same mm-hmm. boys involved with the Enron fraud. They were put out of business, but they're really such a great company to do business with. Look what they're doing there. Look what they're doing at DuPont, as an example. Look at all the people being thrown out of business there. 18,000 people are going to lose their jobs and also have their pensions threatened. So, more of the same. They also have the IT services for Vanguard, a major organization that runs people's pension funds. And then there was about, I guess, about 4 years ago at this point, maybe back a little further, they're investigating why they lost tens of millions of dollars over at Vanguard. And they couldn't figure it out. But somehow, you know, they keep Accenture running the IT services there.
Exactly. So, yeah. Yeah. And now also in the 60s, see, after the war years in the 1950s, we saw this growth of industrial labor. You know, we saw this rise in unionization. And then by the late 60s, early 70s, it began to extend to public sector unionism. And that's when this burden began to be placed upon the taxpayers as it never had before. So, you know, we can fast forward now to 2016. And what has happened in all this time? Now the pensions are all underfunded. All of them are underfunded in the cities, the towns, the states taken over many of the pensions for teachers and so forth. And they've worked out these hybrid plans and schemes for trying to be able to pay off in 20, 30, 40 years. And you know that's all a sham and a fraud because they're not going to be here then. You know, it's rapidly reaching the point of total inability for the taxpayers to pay any longer. So what does that lead? Ah, Johnny on the spot. Guess who comes to the rescue again with a whole new currency, you know, a whole new structure of doing business because this monetary system around the world, in country after country, is bankrupted by the same people. And, you know, Mr. Schwartz, George Soros, is key among them. He's trying to federalize the police more now than ever before. He's behind what's going on in Chicago, the police cameras, the police surveillance state, financing mobs and, you know, the rallies against Trump and so on and so forth. So, I mean, it's, again, where are we today in terms of imminent bankruptcy, Art?
Well, I think you can look at the state of New Jersey as a fine example of that, where the people are basically losing their homes because they can't afford to pay the property taxes. All right, so what happens is people who are, you know, basically retired live in New Jersey, and they have a choice of either moving or go bankrupt just to pay the property taxes and lose their home that way. So people start migrating to less expensive places, but that will basically, over time, bring the cost of living in those new areas where they move to just up right there. So I think you're going to see the can kicked, and where the rubber hits the road is going to happen, I think, in New Jersey. It's one of the first places right there with California.
All righty. Okay. Let's pause again for the final segment of this hour, folks. If you will dial up, you pay the fare, then you can join us and get a quick comment in on RBN. Rick Adams on the Censor.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
All righty, we're back now with Art in Philly, and I think we have Lark on the phone. Hello, Lark.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I wonder if y'all, I'm going to draw a couple word pictures real fast, be quick about it. You've heard of the ancient occultic alchemical dream of a perpetual motion machine, yes?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. In a communitarian system, you are simply not going to be able to have a good-paying job or make bank or even live a middle- to upper-middle-class lifestyle unless you actually participate in organized crime. And to illustrate this, you might read an article. It's called Still, STILL, A Frightening Prospect, and No Longer Far Away at All. It's the latest post at InvisibleSurfsCaller.com, and I invite you and the listeners to read that. And let's not forget, there was a book that was put out called The Organization Man, 1956, William H. White. Mm-hmm. They had a movie called The Man in the Gray Flannel Suit.
Yeah.
When we talk about unions or trade unions, what we also have to think about is trade associations.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of the matter is the communists outlined a caste system with the intelligentsia, the nomenclatura, the bureaucracy, the bourgeoisie, and then the proletariat. But so did the capitalist. And that would be the shareholders, investors, the board of directors, management, and the laborers and the workers. It's a caste system, and there's been many examples throughout history. But finally, I'll leave you with this very interesting new word.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a portmanteau, where they combine two words, a neologism, and the word is precariat. P as in Paul, R-E-C-A-R-I-A-T. And it's a combining of two words, proletariat and the word precarious.
Uh-huh.
And the reason it's noteworthy is because it was the one word that stood out on the short list of what was addressed at the recent Bilderberg conference. And so that speaks to, you know, one-third of the working age population unable to find work or no work.
Hey,
so the entire
Mark.
Economy is driven by this this need for all of us to willy-nilly head off into technological slavery.
Yeah, Lark, do you feel in your surveying of people over the years, do you think the average retiree from the union or any union people can even understand this matrix that they're in?
No, because they were born into it. You know, it's been a gradual thing.
Right.
You know, since the industrial age, you know, we've morphed into the information age.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all you have to do is just peruse the want ads.
Yep.
You know, who are they hiring?
What want ads?
Well, the people that are being hired are techies, scientists coming out of universities, people that are grant seekers. You got to learn how to play the game. And, you know, some of these pastors and the ministers, and these priests, they're making bank. But the techies and the people murdering people in the hospitals and, you know, conning them in the courthouses, they're doing real well in this economy.
I'm sure they are. Thank you. Good points, Lark. Thank you for calling in. We'll have you on sometime soon. All right. And Art, your website, again, is noplaceforcorruption.com. Thank you. It's been a great hour, and hope to have your pleasure again next time, Art.
All right.
Thank you. All right, buddy. Have a good weekend. All right, folks. Next hour, we hope to have on Merlin Miller. The Eagles are arriving now.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system, The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocholine therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.